Welcome back, everybody. This is Rick Pettigrew. Some key members of our Audio News from Archaeologica team are taking a very well-deserved summer break this week, so we've prepared a special edition for you. Our stories this time focus on archaeological research involving climate change in human history and prehistory. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. Our four stories in this edition are selections from audio news editions we prepared in previous months of 2022, a time when manifestations of climate change, such as heat waves and forest fires, have appeared regularly in the popular press. They show how archaeological research can contribute to ongoing discussions about important decisions humanity struggles with today. The audio news team would like to thank our friends for helping us continue this show without a break since we started more than 21 years ago. If you're not already a supporting member, please go to archaeologychannel.org and click on the donate button. We can still use all the help we can get. Thanks to you also for supporting our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We now have 226 titles you can binge upon on Roku. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. And now, here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this episode covers stories about climate change that we featured between January 23rd and July 23rd, 2022. We begin with our story from January 30th, which relates how climate change is drying up the peatlands in the UK, threatening perishable artifacts for which little time remains to save. As reported by the BBC, British peat bogs have yielded unique artifacts such as a Roman toilet seat, the world's oldest boxing glove, and the oldest letter handwritten by a woman. As climate change dries out these wetlands, it could destroy our ability to continue learning about our past from perishable artifacts. According to UK archaeologists, about 22,500 historic and prehistoric sites are at risk. Waterlogged soils cover about 10% of the UK. These soils contain very little oxygen, so organic materials like wood, leather, and textiles do not rot. They can survive for thousands of years, preserved by the stable anoxic chemistry of the soil. When the soils dry, oxygen can enter the system, kickstarting the process of decomposition. Once that happens, artifacts crumble away quickly. Excavating these potentially huge sites could cost hundreds of millions of pounds and take decades, by which time they may have been badly damaged. According to the Trustees of Magna, a Roman fort alongside Hadrian's Wall, the warning is clear, even as they kick off celebrations for the 1900th anniversary of the beginning of construction of the wall. The land at Magna has subsided by up to a meter in some places in the past decade. According to Dr. Andrew Burley, the chief archaeologist at the site, it means this historical time capsule is at risk, because only a tiny part of the site has been excavated so far. Vindolanda, another fort a few miles along the wall, gives an idea of what could lie hidden. Digs at Vindolanda have uncovered the world's oldest boxing gloves, so well preserved that you can still see the imprint of the boxer's knuckles on one, more Roman footwear than any other site in the world, and a handwritten message in which Claudia Severa, the wife of a commanding officer of a nearby fort, invites her friend Lepidina to her birthday party on 11 September, about 1900 years ago. Claudia's letter reads, "Oh, how much I want you at my birthday party. You'll make the day so much more fun. I do so hope you can make it. Goodbye, sister, my dearest soul." Day-to-day objects like this provide a unique connection to the lives of ordinary people in ancient times. According to Burley, efforts to try to work out what is happening underground at Magna Fort include digging boreholes and using electronic equipment to measure the water flow and temperature every hour. At Teesside University, Dr. Gillian Taylor is analyzing the chemicals from the soil cores to understand the processes at work. Other sites at immediate risk include Paleolithic pathways up to 12,000 years old, Bronze Age burial sites, and many more. Peatlands represent a small part of Britain's landscape, but hold an outsized potential to tell the story of the past. While an archaeologist working at a dry site might find 10% of what was once there, at a peatland site, they may find as much as 90% of the material culture. According to Burley, losing places like this doesn't just mean losing this direct connection to the daily lives of the people who lived in Britain 2,000 years ago. It also means the loss of ecological history. Second up is our story from May 22nd about how disappearing sea ice and ocean acidification could spell serious trouble for the century-old Endurance shipwreck off the coast of Antarctica. As reported by The Guardian, an expedition team from the Falklands Maritime Heritage Trust in March of this year found the wreckage of Sir Ernest Shackleton's famous ship, Endurance, which was lost in 1912. The team attempted to reach the ship in 2019, but had to turn back after one of their vehicles was trapped beneath ice. In an interview with Wreckwatch magazine, Menson Bound, the leader of the expeditions, reflected on what he encountered on each voyage. He expressed shock at the dramatic difference in environmental conditions between the expeditions, which were less than 3 years apart. On the 2022 expedition, the team noted that the thick, multi-year ice they expected was notably absent, with much of it having melted away. They primarily saw thin, first-year ice and faced no serious threats of getting trapped in the ice as they did on the previous expedition. According to Bound, one consequence of the continuation of current environmental trends will be the disappearance of the perennial sea ice currently protecting Endurance. This would not only be a loss to maritime archaeology, but would potentially open up the shipwreck site to opportunistic looters, a common concern when it comes to sunken ships. The team also fears increasing ocean acidification will also take its toll and lead to the rapid deterioration of the ship. The expedition poses important ethical considerations. If climate conditions begin to rapidly destroy such sites, should researchers stand by as they deteriorate and are plundered? Or is it humans' responsibility to recover elements from such sites? Such expeditions can prove dangerous, and as climate change progresses, archaeologists will need to grapple more and more with these questions. These warnings from Bound and his team speak to one of the less commonly discussed aspects of climate change, its effect on and potential destruction of archaeological sites and human heritage. Story number 3, from our June 5th edition, describes how the drought-related lowering of the Tigris River in Iraq has exposed an important Bronze Age city and made it available for study. The site came to light when Iraq began drawing down the Mosul Reservoir on the Tigris River during a drought that has been devastating the region. As the water fell in December of 2021, the ancient city emerged. The city was part of the Mitanni Empire, which ruled what is now northern Syria, southeastern Anatolia, and northern Mesopotamia for several centuries before the rise of Assyria. The city's extensive remains include a palace and several large buildings, leading archaeologists to believe it is the ancient Mitanni city of Zakiku. Zakiku was an important trading center of the Mitanni Empire when it controlled this region from 1550 to 1350 BC. As reported by LiveScience.com, the Bronze Age city was submerged in the 1980s after construction of the Mosul Dam, before archaeologists had a chance to excavate it. Researchers can now investigate Zakiku only during droughts. This time, Kurdish and German archaeologists acted fast to begin new work. A joint German-Kurdish team, led by Dr. Hassan Ahmed Kasim, chairman of the Kurdistan Archaeology Organization, Dr. Ivana Puljic, a junior professor of ancient Near Eastern archaeology at the University of Freiburg, and Dr. Peter Pfalzner from the University of Tübingen began work in January 2022 in collaboration with the Directorate of Antiquities and Heritage in Duhok, the capital of the Kurdistan region of Iraq. The team had no idea when the water in the reservoir would rise again, so they started by mapping the large city, including a palace that had already been investigated during a short dry spell in 2018, a massive fortification with a wall and towers, a monument, a multi-story storage building, and an industrial complex. Several of the large buildings were then investigated in detail. According to co-leader Ivana Pulyets, the multi-story storage building is extremely significant as proof of the enormous quantities of goods the Mitanni Empire moved across the region and beyond. The building's size underscores the economic importance of this city and of trade routes in the rise of the Mitanni Empire. According to Dr. Hassan Ahmed Kassim, despite being underwater for more than four decades, the walls are remarkably well preserved, probably because the city was destroyed in an earthquake around 1350 BC, and the collapsed upper parts of the walls buried the buildings in rubble that has protected them from water damage and erosion. Perhaps the most exciting discovery was five ceramic vessels holding an archive of over 100 cuneiform tablets dating to the period of the earthquake. The team hopes they will provide important knowledge about the end of the Mitanni city and the transition to Assyrian rule over the region. Some of the unfired clay tablets are still in their clay envelopes. As the water began rising again, the excavated buildings were covered with tight-fitting plastic sheeting, weighed down with gravel to alleviate further damage. The city is now again submerged. Finally, our last story, from July 24th, discusses how drought in the Yucatan led to civil unrest and other factors that brought an important post-classic Maya city to its end. As reported by ScienceDaily.com, anthropologists and UC Santa Barbara professor Douglas Kennett's recent study in the journal Nature Communications suggest that drought played a significant role in the turmoil that preceded the fall of the city of Mayapan. Mayapan was the political and cultural capital of the Maya in the Yucatan Peninsula during the late post-classic period, from the 1220s until the mid-1400s. Kennett and his team examined archaeological and historical data from Mayapan, including isotope records, radiocarbon data, and DNA sequences from human remains, in order to trace the period of unrest spanning approximately AD 1400 and 1450. The researchers believe that an extended period of drought contributed to ongoing civil conflict, political rivalries, and population decline that ultimately led to the city's collapse and abandonment. Maya people at the time relied heavily on rain-fed maize agriculture. The interdisciplinary research found not only a lack of rain during an extended drought, but also an absence of centralized long-term grain storage, as well as minimal investments in irrigation. Socio-political conflict among elite families also contributed to the turmoil, and the true decline of the city was cemented in 1441 when the influential Xiu family led a revolt that killed almost all members of the ruling Comcom family. The revolt left the city burned and in shambles. Researchers argue that drought played an important role in fueling these social and political instabilities, weakening the integrity of Mayapan's governmental institutions, and ultimately disturbing the social order. At the same time, as populations in Mayapan fragmented, social reorganization that resulted from this turmoil allowed the Maya to remain quite resilient for a century more prior to Spanish arrival in Yucatan. The study illustrates the importance of cross-discipline research and collaboration in order to better understand the full context of ancient sites and societies. The study also serves as somewhat of a warning as well for what modern societies might expect in the face of a rapidly changing climate and political conflict. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Thanks for listening. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.